Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, June 5th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. In the chapter, There is a Solution, and we're on page 23. We'll be reading and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, How True This Is, and ends, Assert His Power of Will. Today's readers for the 12 Steps, Barbara W., the 12 Traditions, Kelsey R., readers of the text, Vicki V., Reva P., and Vanessa G. Our newcomer greeter is Tony B. Our second hour host is Leah S., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, June 4th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,457. That's 21457. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,458. That's 21458. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Barbara W. to please read the 12 steps. Barbara, press star one. We can't hear you.
My name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our life became unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching, fearless, moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons that we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to people, such whatever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 11, continued to take personal inventory, and when we was wrong, we properly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having a spiritually awakened as the result of all these steps, we try to carry the message of compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Barbara W. And I will now ask Kelsey R. to please read the 12 traditions. Kelsey R., press star one.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. I was double muted. Okay, the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. The leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Kelsey R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 23, the third paragraph that begins, "How true this is," and ends, "Assert his power of will." And comments will be on that one paragraph. And I will ask Vicki V. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Lisa H. Good morning, fellows. This is Vicki V. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God today. How true this is, you realize. In a vague way, their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal. But everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will. This really speaks to me and my journey. Here, to me, they are talking about how the alcoholic is unable to change, even in his best efforts. And the entire family and loved ones are waiting for them to change. Bill continued to try one thing after another to make his life experience better, but time after time, he returned to the drink. Why? Why couldn't he do what they saw as so simple? He seemed so strong, he seemed so capable. My entire life, my family has celebrated my incredible willpower. To this day, my obese family members exclaim about my strength and how I've always taken care of myself. When I began my OA journey of uncover, discover, and discard, I shared with them all my secrets surrounding food and how it was my solution to life. They continue to disagree and marvel at my strength. Only my daughter, who lived with me as a single mom, got to see the true sickness that no one else saw. She still lives with me today, or she's back with me today. She saw how abnormal I was, how I stole the food that I bought for her, and just lied about everything, and I justified everything I did because I'm in charge. I'm in control. The anger, the fear of the world, and my place in it always asking why and not having any answers. Today, they all celebrate the changes in me, even if they don't see the similarities in their food behaviors. Like it says here, few realize. How many loved ones never realize? All I can do is thank God for Bill and this program and all of you who show up every day. Nothing that comes out of my mouth is original. It all comes from things that I've learned through this program and spiritual work that we do. I show up for myself and for others. I do the spiritual work, and I try to be the example of the changes I want to see in my world today. I want to live in alignment with the person God wants me to be, and I wouldn't even know that was possible without this program. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Vicki V, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Kim A.
Kim.
Becky K.
Becky.
Reva P.
Reva. Did I hear Pete?
Yes.
Okay. Pete, gotcha.
Susan C.
Susan. Anybody else?
Kelsey M.
Kelsey.
Elsie.
Okay. I'm sorry. Say again.
It's Elsie with an E.
Oh, Elsie. Thank you, Elsie. Okay, so this is what I have. Kim A, Becky K, Reva P, Pete B, Susan C, and Elsie M. Kim A, you're up, followed by Becky K.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. This is Kim A from New York City. So, of course, you know, any plea or any question or any effort to help us, the chronic compulsive eater, that comes from outside these rooms is what Dr. Silkworth calls frothy muscle appeal. You know, people just don't get it. They mean well, but they don't get it. They don't understand this whole, like, powerlessness thing. And what I didn't realize while I was in my first 18 years of OA, trying to follow a food plan and get abstinent and stay abstinent and basically failing miserably for pretty much 18 years, is that every time I did that, every time I tried to follow a food plan and weigh and measure and commit my food and avoid certain foods and ingredients, I was exerting my power of will. I was using my willpower. That's all it was. It was like a diet, and it didn't work for me. And I didn't understand at the time why it didn't work for me. But looking back, because I've recovered in a different way, I recovered just by working the steps and letting the food work itself out, which may sound, I don't know, ridiculous. It seemed ridiculous to me at first. But the Big Book teaches us that food's not the problem. Food was my solution to life. Food was what I went to when my thinking, my perceptions, my attitudes were all like awry. You know, I was a hot mess from the neck up, and that's why I was always resentful and, you know, full of fear and all that stuff. So that's what always drove me to take that first bite, not sugar, not anything else. So I would try to exert my power of will. I would put down food, and I was taking the only thing that brought me any kind of relief or comfort, just, you know, from life. And so eventually, all of that restlessness and irritability and discontentment, that would all build back up. And that's why I would always have to take that first bite again. And I didn't understand that when I was in it. Even when I was abstinent, even when I was, you know, quote unquote, doing the right thing, I was still obsessed with food. And my end game was, like, I don't want to be obsessed with food. I want freedom from that. And so it wasn't until I stopped trying to exert my power of will to follow a food plan. If, you know, food wasn't my problem to begin with, how was that going to help me? And when I just focused on working the steps as they're written in the Big Book, and I worked them quickly, because prior to that, I had always done it, you know, pretty slowly and pondered things and did a lot of writing and all this stuff, which just almost like postponed my finding the new solution, which was my higher power and living in 10, 11, and 12. And I have the mind of a chronic compulsive eater. It's going to lead me back in any way it can. So working the steps quickly, working the steps quickly for me got me to a real solution to life much faster. Thanks for letting me share. This is Kim A. in New York City.
Thank you, Kim A. And Becky K., you're up, followed by Reba P.
Thank you so much, everyone. I'm Becky K., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in Maryland. And boy, oh boy, this paragraph really resonates with me. I consider myself, and others consider me, as a very strong-willed, independent woman. And as it says here in the big book, people waited for me to assert my willpower. Even I tried to assert my willpower. And I will say, with all my heart, I truly wanted to stop overeating. I can remember trying every single fad diet or diet pills or you name it. I tried everything throughout my many years of compulsive overeating. And each and every time I started to embark on a new journey through a diet fad or pill or whatever, I meant business. I really meant business. This is it. I'm going to do it with all my will and with all my might. This strong, independent, willed person is, this time I mean business. I'm going to do it. Sometimes within minutes, often within hours, maybe if I was lucky within days, I landed face first right into the refrigerator. And I just didn't understand, like, why. I really meant business. I really, truly, with all my heart and all my will, wanted to stop overeating. And it was because I finally learned through program that I'm powerless over this disease. My power, I don't have any power, whether it's willpower or individual power or strong will. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work for me. I'm powerless. And therefore, I needed a power greater than myself to help me. I know many times I've read in the literature, you know, step one is I'm powerless. Step two, God can help. Step three, I think I'll let him. To me, that's what worked. That's the only thing that worked. And through the grace of God and the help of everyone in this program, I can continue to be recovered one day at a time, as the big book says, based on my fit spiritual condition, because I need the power of my higher power, which is God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Becky K. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Pete B.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. For me, this paragraph and the one above are basically telling me what is not the solution. So if I have information about this disease, if I fight and try to beat the game, if I exert my will, if I try harder, it's not going to work. If I have a physical allergy, I can will, I can try, I can do whatever I want in my head. If my body is going to react to certain medications, like I have certain allergies, I'm going to get the reaction no matter how hard I try not to. And that's just a fact. So for me, I have to put down certain foods, ingredients, and behaviors. Otherwise, I trigger the allergic reaction of wanting more and more and more. And then when it comes to the greater aspect of my disease that centers in my mind, I learned after I came into program that I could be abstinent only, but I would go right back to the food. And I was a crazy person. For me, I was even crazier as a white-knuckled abstinent woman. So I need power. I need to develop this relationship and access power. And this business of power of will, I love the fact that, you know, I get to know by the time I get to like page 85, steps, what is it, like 10, 11, it tells me that I can use my will rightly if I'm aligned with this power. And that is the great miracle, you know, that I don't crave the food. I have the neutrality when I'm in fit spiritual condition. And if I ask God, you know, to use me and show me what his will is for me as my day goes along, it says I can exercise my willpower along this line, and I can be much more effective in the world. So, you know, if I want to know what the solution is for me, I have to know what doesn't work. And it's so simple. Sometimes I think it's almost like a sense of humor. Like every paragraph basically tells me the same thing over and over again, because I'll try to make it more complicated. I'll try to think maybe there's something else. It's the allergy of the body, of the obsession of the mind, put down the food, work the steps, access power, and try to live in alignment with that power. It doesn't really get more complicated than that, but it is not easy, and I don't do it perfectly. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Pete B., you're up, followed by Susan C.
Thanks, Lisa, and thanks, Vicki, for getting us started. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, it says here that these drinkers are abnormal. It doesn't say that we our drinking is abnormal. So as drinkers, we are abnormal. Or as eaters, we are abnormal. You know, a couple paragraphs back, it said that the problem centers in our mind. And what the tendency to do is to adopt psychological measures and new practices and new resources and address the problem in the mind. Right? We come up with these sayings and we get these sponsors and fellows and tools, and we approach the disease or we approach the solution as we're straightening out the mind. Right? And many of us come here, you know, maybe the only aspect of their life that's abnormal is their approach to food. And many also are completely maladjusted to life. But that doesn't mean that they're compulsive overeaters, right? The doctor's opinion says any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out the physical factor is incomplete. Incomplete. Right? So the physical factor is important. But we, you know, our approach to addressing the psychological, our psychological approach, well, the book also tells us that once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out physically and mentally. And these practices that we embrace, these sayings that permeate the fellowship, they're all fine. Like, don't get me wrong. I value all of those things, and they're all super important, but they are a means to the end. They're not the solution. They are a means to get to the solution. Right? It's instinctive to want to get relief by reaching out to our fellows and depending upon the people around us. That's instinctual. But in AA 12 and 12, it tells us if we place instincts first, we've got the cart before the horse. See, there's no value talking about the things we do as this is what we have to do in order to remain alive and prosperous. Right? There's no value in matching insanity with additional insanity. You know, claiming that, you know, I go to sleep recovered, I wake up a compulsive overeater unrecovered. That's not what our literature says. It says that the problem is removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. I'll shut up with this, Lisa. Thank you. A transformation takes place, and we have to embrace that occurs by doing what's outlined the way it says it's outlined to do. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete B. And Susan C., you're up, followed by Elsie M.
Hi, good morning. This is Susan C. from Pennsylvania. And this really struck home for me. I just remember going out with someone to eat, and I went to order something, and she said, oh, no, don't get that. Get this. In other words, like, she didn't want me to eat that unhealthy or whatever you would call it food, and that would make me gain more weight. So that's kind of like humiliating. And I just remember doing that to family members also, and thinking, you know, if I tell them to do this or to do that, can't they see? It's a suffer when you're in that condition, and I think it's suffering for the family to see, you know, to see that and want to help and give suggestions. Okay, so you know, I have to be open to listening to the meeting, others share, and connect with my higher power. And in the work, also in the work that I do, I work with people that are sick, have, you know, kind of very obese, and, you know, I'm like, how come they're not getting it? How come they're not getting it? How come they're not getting it? And I realized that I just really needed to detach and pray for them. And I have to get it for, you know, I have to have my spiritual awakening and guidance with me and keep connected. And how come they weren't getting it? And I'm like, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. And I just thought, I'm just detaching. I'm just going to detach. And I prayed for them. And it worked. It took the relief off of me, and then, you know, slowly people are like coming to it on their own. And, you know, so I just feel like I have to be understanding more to other people, and also more understanding, compassionate to myself, and to keep connected with my higher power. So thanks.
Thank you, Susan C. And Elsie M., please share with us.
I'm sorry, something's come up. I'm not going to be able to share right now. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Elsie. So I'm opening the lines up again for more shares. We are on page 23, we have read the third paragraph that begins, how true this is, and ends, assert his power of will. Who else would like to share this morning?
Charles H.
from North Carolina.
I hear Charles H. Who from North Carolina?
Christina J.
Oh, sorry, Christina.
Matt J.F.
Lisa B. Matt. Hang on, Matt J.F. Lisa B. Anybody else?
Russ M.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Okay. I've got Charles H., Christina J., Matt J.F., Lisa B., and Russ M. Charles H., you're up, followed by Christina J.
Thank you very much for your service. You know, Al-Anon is in his worst in alcoholism. And I'm talking about from a sponsor and OA sponsor relationship. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to show you what I did. And if it kind of works out, let's run with it. Other than that, I don't like you enough to hate you. I got a whole full life because of being recovered one day at a time. I ain't drilling down on what you're doing, what you eating. I don't care what you're doing. I got a full life. I respect you. I love you. I pray for you, and I keep it pushing. I don't get involved in, you know, your affairs and because I can't do nothing about it but pray. So the truth is, I don't know the truth. and I ain't got to put that pressure on myself. I'm so grateful to listen and to hear. And you know what? One of these shares are going to be like, ding, yep, that's me. And I'm going to reach out to that person. I ain't got to be on the world phone list. I ain't got to be, it ain't no lights and cameras. Because you know what? You know, I need to develop positivity in the dark. That's what a visionary is. A visionary sees the light in the dark. And through everybody's share, everybody's my teacher. Because I can learn what to do and learn what not to do. And for me, that's the truth in my life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Charles H. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Matt J.F.
Hey, everybody. Christina J., North Carolina. Great shares today. You know, I don't have any willpower. And by God's grace today, I'm walking in his grace of some recovery. And how I got to this recovery was no one could say anything to me to help me get here, not even my sponsor. It's God's grace that helps me realize that right now I'm not able to have cookies around or cake or, you know, one day I'll be able to walk into the store and not be bothered. And I'm not bothered when I walk into the store. I'm bothered at certain times in my life. And I don't want those things calling to me because I want to protect this precious abstinence right now. So it's only by God's grace that I have this ability to, like I shared the other day, take a piece of candy outside and throw it away. Get rid of the cookies that came in. Tell my boss when he says, well, why don't, because I put all his granola bars upstairs. And he said, well, why do you do that? I said, I can't be around those right now. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, you know, your son's an alcoholic. Do you understand that? And he goes, totally. I said, well, that's the same with me with food. Right now, I'm too tender. And so it's been a couple months. And how I got to that couple months was I crept back gently. I crept back gently. I didn't tell anybody on the line. I was working towards abstinence again. I didn't shame myself. I didn't guilt myself. I spoke to my sponsor about it and some fellows. But I gently crept back with God's grace, one by one, my little tiny moments of having no willpower and no God's grace that I would tap into, because we have to tap into that grace. Little by little, bit by bit, those foods went away. And, you know, I think back at the relapses I had that were small, you know, and very small, maybe one day, 1 hour, whatever. And I cry because God let that crap hit my bloodstream like a shot of poison. And I immediately got sick. And I just can't live that way anymore. I just can't. And people say, keep the memory green. Well, you know what? God really let that happen with my memories of my recent, you know, before this 2 months relapses, because those were very painful. And the most painful thing is my life was slipping by. And, you know, I wasn't going through life acting like everything was okay. I knew. And I didn't have to act like everything, oh, I relapsed, it's okay. No, it wasn't okay. But I knew that I couldn't be mean to myself and that God's grace is not mean. It's loving, it's gentle. Take my hand. Let's keep going, baby. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And, you know, I have an allergy. And maybe many people don't. But I have an allergy to certain foods, and I'm not going to effing pick those up. I don't care. I'm not going to test it. It's not worth it to me to try a bite. Just not worth it. So, anyway, hope somebody got something out of that, and love you all, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Matt J.F., you're up, followed by Lisa B.
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Matt J.S. in Illinois. And it's been a really long time since I shared on the line. And sharing on the line this morning is one of the ways, like, it's an act of surrender. because I don't really want to be doing it, and I'm doing it anyway. Which, like, I don't, it requires an act of will for me to overcome my comfort and desire to not get up at 6 in the morning and not dial in and listen and pay attention and not hear on the line. That requires an act of will. I had no such success over any significant period of time when it came to not eating the foods that I, once I started, I couldn't stop, and I couldn't stop from starting. And this paragraph to me is a really, like, sort of subtle reminder of, you know, that it wasn't about lethargy and a failure to assert my power of will. It was that no amount of asserting any power of will was going to result in any amount of me not consuming those foods and not engaging those behaviors. Like, it's like dancing about architecture. It has those two things have nothing to do with each other. There's, like, I can't pile enough chips of will on the table to win the bet. Never going to happen. And that, for me, was step one, was I had to stop denying an undeniable truth. If I wasn't I am clearly not powerless over my lethargy and asserting my power of will to press *1 and unmute and say my name. But that wasn't true when it came to drinking Coca-Cola. And I know, because, you know, for whatever, you know, up until 1,927 days ago, I had tried many, many times to do that, and I had failed every single time. And sometimes like the period of time between when I was like, I'm going to not drink this anymore, and then I had the next sip was like 5 seconds. There was no evidence to support the notion that any amount of will was ever going to solve that problem. And so I just had to stop denying this undeniable truth that, like, someday I was going to crack the code. It was never going to happen. And for me, that literally was the first domino, that act of that admission of powerlessness was what freed me to walk the steps. And I'm so, thank you. And I'm so relieved and grateful that it did. Okay.
Thank you, Matt JF. And Lisa B, you're up, followed by Russ M.
Hi, this is Lisa B in Massachusetts. I've been listening the past couple of days, and it's been meaningful to me. So I remember when I was in my early teens, and I remember my first binge clearly when I was in seventh or eighth grade, but I remember I also go to the anorexia side of starving myself. And my father would, my father came to me and told me I looked terrible. He was a man of few, a curse word. He's like, you look like blank. And that, my father's tears in his eyes could not do anything. And my mother said, I will buy you a terry cloth robe if you eat. And I couldn't do it. The problem was in my mind. And I feel like I'm double winner in the sense of I'm also a compulsive overeater. I also, once I put the food in my mouth, I can't stop eating. So that double, you know, sense of, you know, I don't want to start because I know when I start, I won't stop. And I don't know what came first. Maybe I think I probably ate a lot and was like, oh no, this isn't socially acceptable in eating this much. So I stopped myself and then it became this whole cycle of binging and starving. And I also would in college steal my friend's food, and I didn't want to be doing that, but, you know, I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but I can't imagine they were like, oh, I'm so glad Lisa's taking my food and hiding it and lying about it. And that's the best that I could do at the time to hide this, what I felt very shameful eating disorder. And then, you know, many years out, I don't think that way so much anymore. I think it was just a response to, you know, trauma and that type of thing as my coping mechanism for whatever reason, as my coping mechanism. I have some ideas why. But again, I could not stop. And I could not start. And when I started, I could not stop. And it was just this back and forth, and I didn't want to be eating that way. You know, throwing things down the drain my parents bought so that, you know, I wouldn't eat it. But I don't think my friends were happy for me that I couldn't eat in a restaurant and I would cancel plans because, you know, I didn't want to be eating and I already binged anyway. You know, and this was in high school. I was young. And, you know, again, I've had, you know, family members try and set it up so that if I did this, if I changed my behavior, I would get what I wanted. I wanted that terry cloth robe so bad, but I couldn't do it. A number of times, I just couldn't do it. And it wasn't until program that I began to do it with the help of this program, because there's no way I could have done it on my own. And now I seem quote unquote normal, although, you know, depending on what that looks like to you. But I didn't have the will and I had the shame, and now I have abstinence and a program, and that's all I want to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa B. And Russ M., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philadelphia. And, you know, that first part about the family and, like they know you're a little off, but, you know, my it brings up my dad, God rest his soul, like, hey, buddy, just, you know, cut back a little bit. Or my cousin Tom, who trained me in wrestling, cuz, you know, you got this, you know, you got great willpower, you know. It's like, dude, I wasted my whole adult life trying to cut back, my young adult life, you know, trying to cut back. They didn't quite understand what was going on in my brain. And for that matter, you know, willpower and the obsession is like the ultimate Jedi mind trick, that I can believe that I can control this monster, this thing that's inside of me that creates pressure and tension, and I can't think straight until I get a hit, until I have to eat. Like my pride that I have it figured out was my worst enemy. But it was a vicious cycle because I didn't even kind of realize that I was sick. But I thought I had it together, and I kept failing and failing and failing. My whole, up until I was 40 years old, was binging and falling off, binging and falling off. I couldn't figure it out until there's a miracle of God, which is this program, the 12 steps and a spiritual way of life. And I just wasted so much when I read this paragraph. But, you know, I was sick and I didn't know it, and I didn't know how to surrender till I had to surrender, till I was drowning, till it's the only option. So, you know, we're not regular people, man. It's not that we're unique. It's just we're sick. People with addiction are sick, and our minds are meds. It doesn't work right. We're not wired right. So we need this. We need God. We need a power that could straighten our rear ends out, straighten us out. And until we actually concede to that, whatever way, if you can do it voluntarily, I think that would be great. But I don't know if we can. I know I can't do it. I had to be destroyed, smashed, like Pete says, like my bro Pete says. It has to be smashed. And now that I rambled, I didn't even have my coffee yet, so good for you guys. It would have been another 3 minutes. But I hope, you know, you just don't give up, because God can heal you through this program. Well, it can abate you. I don't know about a healing, but you get what I'm saying. All right. Love you. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Russ M. And we still have time for 3 or 4 more shares. Who else would like to share this morning?
Anita J.
Anita.
Yellow C.
Lee H. Maya K.
Hang on, hang on. Okay, I heard Lee H. and I heard Maya K. I've got Anita J. and I missed someone between Anita J. and Lee H. Starts with an E, perhaps?
The last C.
I can't say that again.
Oh, Sheila?
Okay, Sheila, that's way better. Okay. All right. So everybody, you'll remind me. I'm gonna pause there with these four. If we have time, we'll take some more. I have Anita J. and Sheila, Lee H. and Maya K. Anita J., you're up, followed by Sheila.
Okay, thank you.
Please. Page 23, third paragraph.
Okay,
Anita, go ahead. Thanks.
I'm still here, right? Okay.
Yes.
This is Anita J., and I live west of Boston. Who knew that a bloody peanut would be the thing that finally brought me to my knees? All the ice cream never did it. All the whatever, the chips smothered with cream cheese. Nothing. Nothing, that never did it. I was pretty sure I could gather myself up and handle that. But if I could, why didn't I ever do it? I was one of those, they said, chronic relapsers. Did I ever have it? Did I relapse from it? Who knows? But I would have, you know, even 2 years and 7 months was the longest I ever made it. And then some trivia thing happened. Who knows what? And I was often running worse than ever. This was the pattern of my life since I was a little kid. I just didn't know. But the thing was, if people were waiting for me to rouse myself, we're gonna have a long wait. It was this peanut. I cannot get over it because how a person can kid themselves. I was on a diet with the sponsor, told them what I was going to eat that day, did it, after dinner, cleaned up, and decided to pour myself a cup of decaf coffee and have a peanut. 30 minutes later, tearing through God knows what, I went to bed, disgusted. Next day, all that's been erased from my mind. I did it again. And the day after, I did it again. And on the fourth day, thank you, God, I cleaned up, poured myself a cup of coffee, went to get a peanut when it finally hit me all the way to my gut, to my soles of my feet. Anita, you can't have one. That little thought had never come to me before. You can't have one. And thank you, God, I have known it now. And of course, just knowing doesn't do it. That's why I'm on the line every day. That's why I make my God connection throughout the day. And keep in touch with my fellows who they know too. They know what they can't have. And they know who saves them every day. So thank you, everybody. I'm glad for this reminder in the middle of the week. God bless.
Thank you, Anita J. And Sheila, you're up if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, followed by Lee H.
Thank you. This is Sheila C. Thank you so much for the service and all the shares. I really appreciate this meeting and God answering my prayers. I had an abstinent evening and I woke up feeling so good as a result. Willpower. I have it in a lot of areas. Just had a little awareness as I'm listening that when it comes to food, particularly sugar, a certain combo of emotions, restless, irritable discontentment, yeah, the no willpower. No, it just is what it is. And then it's like I exerted in other ways all the more, you know, to prove my willpower, my worthiness, whatever, to get over the ugh, the yuck. But anyway, when I tap in to this inner resource, which coming to meetings and being honest, and I haven't been on the line in a long time. I haven't shared, certainly. But I was inspired by what I heard somebody else share. You know, what do I have the willpower to press star one? Like, oh, my God, yes. And that's so key for me, because if I don't tell the truth, this thing is so much about denial. I just need to say, like, the way my compulsive eating shows up is so much different than when I first came to OA, and that can mess me up. It's like, oh, you're not so bad. Oh. Just saying that out loud, and I need help. I cannot, make the choices I want to make regarding food consistently on my own. And thank God I know where the help is, and I'm here today, and I did press star one, like I said, because of tapping into a higher power. I believe that meetings are a higher power for me. They give me power where I don't have power. And so thank you so much for being here and letting me share when I pass.
Thank you, Sheila C. And Lee H., you're up, followed by Maya K.
Well, good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for your service. It's great to hear you on the line. This is Lee H. in Tennessee, and these shares have just been amazing. There's so much going on in my head that I want to say, and I know I won't be able to articulate it very well, but I'm going to try. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for my higher power. I've been in the rooms several years now and have had several sponsors and have been just living this beautiful life in this program and using the tools and all this, but I know that the bottom line is that there is really no tool that got me where I am today. It is truly just the grace and mercy of my higher power. It is that transformation that, for me, only the Holy Spirit could have done in me. I believe that the Holy Spirit is using this program, still does today, and I will always be here. And the power of the will is just, it's a mystery. And I do believe that my higher power can help me to be aligned with his will. And I don't do it perfectly in my spiritual life. I know there's a lot of improvement that can be made. It's not perfect, and I feel like sometimes I don't do it good enough, but I'm just living in my higher power's grace today. I'm going to see a cousin in Alabama, and she, every time I get with her, she is on some kind of a diet. And I just want to share with her so much what I'm doing. And a lot of times I want to say, well, listen to this meeting in the morning. You'll really get it if you'll just tune into this meeting or listen to the recording. But it just, that doesn't really explain it. It is really a mystery how my higher power has reached me through my surrendering in this program. And that's the only thing I can tell her if she asks. And I don't want to be, you know, sharing with her something she is not interested in hearing, because what she's doing is working for her right now, apparently. I just want to be used by my higher power, and I think sometimes it just takes desperation. And that's why I'm so glad newcomers are here and want this. And it took me a long time, and I'm still trying to get there, but I'm living a life today beyond my wildest dreams. So I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee H. and Maya K. I'm sorry we've run out of time. I hope you will stay on for the second unrecorded hour and share then. Thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, June the 5th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,464. That's 21464. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Reva P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes, hi, this is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until